إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a ni'mah for the believers and for all humanity and all of mankind. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to recognize the ni'mah that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to take the maximum benefit from his teachings, from what he left for us. Among the ni'mat from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are his different du'as that he made on different occasions. And these du'as are also among the signs of risala, among the signs of prophethood. It is a very good thing to memorize these du'as and to ask these du'as, because there is nothing more maqbool and nothing more accepted than the du'a of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These du'as are also wahi. These du'as are also what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask. And therefore, there cannot be anything more blessed and more mubarak than to make a du'a which was made by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Among those du'as is a du'a that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make, and which is among the du'as that we should make in the morning and the evening, among the morning and the evening azkar. I sent this out on the group yesterday, so I thought let me talk about it today also. And this is narrated in Musnad Imam Ahmad, in Tirmidhi and Nasai, from Shaddad in Ibn Aus radiallahu anhu, who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this dua. And he taught us to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-thabata fil amri wa as'aluka azimat al-rushd wa as'aluka shukran ni'matik wa husna ibadatik wa as'aluka lisanan sadiqan wa qalban saliman wa a'udhu bika min sharri ma ta'alam وأسألك من خير ما تعلم وأستغفرك مما تعلم إنك أنت علام الغيوب. Which means, O Allah, I ask you for steadfastness in this matter. I ask you for the resolve to adhere to the path of guidance. And I ask you for gratitude for your blessings and to worship you well. And I ask you for a truthful tongue and a sound heart, and I seek refuge with you from the evil of what you know, and I ask you for the good of what you know, and I ask you for forgiveness for what you know. You are the knower of the unseen. Now if you think about this dua, one of the things about the duas of Rasulullah, whether they are small or long or short, is the jamiyat of the dua. It's complete in itself. It encompasses all that you can possibly think of asking. You are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for refuge from all the evil that Allah knows. Yeah? And you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the good that Allah knows. Just one part of this dua. If you think about that, what can be more jami' than that? What can be more complete than that? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, innaka anta allamul ghuyub, you are the one who has knowledge of the unseen. Only you have the knowledge of the unseen, the unknown, or the unknowable. And therefore you are seeking this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first and foremost thing that strikes me, which I want to remind myself anew about this dua, is the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this dua represents, and which every dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam represents. This is not just something to be recited. This is the conversation between the Abd and the Rabb. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking to his Rabb who is in front of him. This is a direct conversation. He is speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who exists. He is speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is real. He is speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is seeing him, who is hearing him, who is understanding him. It is an actual one-to-one conversation. And that is the essence of dua. And that is the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-du'a wa mukhu al-ibadah." He said the dua is the brain of the ibadah. It is the hasil of the ibadah. He said dua is ibadah. And that is the reason why this is one kind of ibadah, which is dua, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put any restrictions on. For other things, for salah, for example, wudu is shart. It's one of the conditions of salah. Without wudu, there is no salah. There is the condition of tahara or purity, ritual purity for other things. For different ibadah, there are different conditions. For hajj, umrah, you know, you have to have a certain dress, and you do something, then you don't do something, then all that. Fasting is from this time to this time. But for dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put no restrictions at all. Any time, anywhere, anyhow, in a state of purity, in a state of impurity, standing, sitting, lying down, walking, running, any situation, you can call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it makes sense, because when the slave needs Allah, at that time maybe he is not in a state, pure state, but what is he going to do? He still needs Allah. Even though he is not in a state of purity, he still needs Allah. So where is he going to find the purity? Now, by the time he goes and makes ghusl and whatnot and comes back, Allah Alam, what kind of situation he is in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put any condition. Dua can be asked at any time. And dua is the absolute essence of ibadah. It is that is ibadah. It is talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is ibadah? Ibadah is to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadah has many forms. Salah is one, and so on and so on and so on. But the actual meaning of ibadah is what? To connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to make these du'as. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him to make this du'a. So in this du'a, which I recited just now, the first thing that strikes me, and I remind you and myself, is the connection between the abd and the rabb. And that's why we must make these du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the masnoon du'as, which are full of barakah. And we should make our own du'as. The purpose of these du'as is to teach us how to make du'a. And so we can think of our own du'as and make our own du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very dear friend of mine in Makkah, Naseem Chaudhary, who sent some thoughts on this, which I want to share with you. And he said that, "I think a whole methodology could be founded on this one du'a, from the confirmation of the fact that people will always hoard wealth and treasures, to the advice to avoiding to do that, and to the recommendation of what is better than that." Now in this dua, Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has asked for four things. One, he has asked for steadfastness. Sabat. He has asked for steadfastness in faith and in life. Because he said, "O Allah, I ask you for steadfastness in this matter," which means this, in this life, in our daily work, "and I ask you for the resolve to adhere to the path of guidance." Because the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to ask in Surah Al-Fatiha is Ihdina Sirat Al-Mustaqim. The purpose of life is not to reach somewhere. Inshallah, we ask Allah for Jannah, so we are not denying that. But the purpose of life is to stay on the straight path. Path of steadfastness, Sirat Al-Mustaqim. We ask Allah, give us, guide us to the path and give us the steadfastness to stay on this path. Because many times you find that, you know, we know what is the right thing to do. It's not as if we are completely ignorant. But we still don't do it. You know, something comes in the way and so on and so on. So we miss doing that. Even though we know it is the right thing to do. But we miss. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for steadfastness to stay on the path. Now see the beauty of this dua. Because path we know, but if you don't stay on the path, then still it's not helping us. So he's asking for steadfastness in faith and in life. The second thing he asks for is the resolution to remain steadfast, which is the to stay on the correct path. The third thing which he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "O Allah, I ask you for gratitude for your blessings. Now, this is one of the beauties of the du'as of Rasulullah ﷺ, that he would go to the foundation, to the basic of it. He is to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his blessings is among the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gave us this order, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who is grateful to me for my blessings, I will increase the blessing. وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. And if the person is ungrateful for the blessings, then he should be aware of my punishment, which is severe. So here we need to be grateful. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ability to be grateful, to remind us to be grateful. Because this is human nature. If something goes wrong, then immediately we complain. But if something is going well, we take it for granted. Yeah, so this is something which should happen. You know, when the weather is good, how many times do people say, oh, weather is so nice. But if the weather is bad, all you can be sure, first opening part of any conversation, it's so hot, it's so this, it's so that. So, and this is true for, you know, practically everything. If something is wrong, immediately there is a comment. But if something is going good, alhamdulillah, everything is smooth and things are going well, then we take it for granted, as if this is our birthright. But here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, oh Allah, give me the ability and remind me to have gratitude for your blessings, to be grateful for your blessings. And then, to worship you well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to worship Him well. Husni ibadatik. The beauty of the ibadah. Because ibadah is the purpose of our creation. وَمَا قَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So the purpose of creation is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, it's not just worship, not just I finish worship, I go home. No. The beauty of that worship. May Allah grant us the ability to worship Him in the best possible way. And that's what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, the ability to worship. Because this is from among the biggest blessings, to be grateful for the heart and the tongue. Now he's asking for qalban saliman. And we know the whole issue of qalban salim, and there's a series of lectures of mine on it, also on it. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, illa manata Allah bi qalbin salim. Except for the one who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a qalbun salim. On the day of judgment, that's the only thing which will, a heart which is sound, a heart which is complete in every respect, which means a heart which has tawheed, which is illuminated by the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's asking Allah for this heart, and for lisan and sadiqan, for a tongue which is truthful. Now imagine, as my brother here says, Naseeb Chaudhary, he says that the heart and the tongue are the two primary faculties with which we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify them and to keep them upright. Because whatever we worship is, we speak that, and then it is in the heart. So the tongue and the heart are the two primary faculties that we use. Also acknowledging that we don't know everything, that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. Ignorance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of the real objectives in life being a main factor is why people hold treasure. So we don't know, and Allah knows. And Allah mentioned this in the Quran in other places also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in one place where He said that there are some things, وَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا فَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that there are things which you dislike, but in which there is benefit for you. And there are things that you love, but in those things there is shar for you, there is evil for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and you do not know. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Anta allamul ghuyub. You are the one who knows. And therefore, he is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the good of what Allah knows. And he is asking protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the evil that Allah knows. And he says, oh Allah, you know and I do not know. And that's the beauty of this dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to learn the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to make these du'as And to make sure that we make these du'as with awareness of who we are asking, what we are asking, and we ask Allah to accept these du'as and to give us what we ask, and then to give us that which we did not ask but which He knows, and therefore that is better for us. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.